Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. The word of the Lord has, and I believe the Spirit of God has been talking to us the last couple weeks about spiritual things and the matters of the Spirit. And I feel to just kind of keep staying in this vein as long as the Holy Ghost would want us to. Amen. I want to talk today about the working of the Spirit. The working of the Spirit. Somebody said amen. As I said, the last couple services, the Lord's been reminding us of the importance of depending upon the Spirit of God, trusting in the Spirit of God, tapping into the Spirit of God, the importance of tapping in and living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-dictated, Spirit-dependent life. My prayer this morning is that we as the people of God would gain understanding, that we would gain revelation of the fact that the Holy Ghost within us, again, as I've said the last couple service, the Holy Ghost within us is more than just our ticket to heaven. It's bigger than that. It's more than, you know, we received the Holy Ghost, we spoke in tongues, we got a ticket to heaven, we put it in our pocket, and it would just languishes there until the rapture comes. It's bigger than that. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This isn't talking about heaven necessarily. I believe it's also talking about the here and now, things that God has prepared for us here and now. And when it speaks of eyes having not seen and ears having not heard, it's saying you can't, the things God wants to give you, you can't get them. You can't, these things cannot be revealed to you by fleshly things, by fleshly means, by fleshly nature. In our fleshly nature, eyes, ears, whatever, physical, the senses of our body, we cannot understand and comprehend the things of the Spirit. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, but God hath revealed them. It's past tense. You've been filled. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth. They've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. And so God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Somebody say the deep things. So, my friend, we've got to get this today, because everything that we will ever need to know in order to live out our lives correctly has already been imparted to us when we were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The deep things, the things that we might not understand now, but the things that we're going to need to understand in those moments and in those decision times and in and correct direction and those maybe split second understanding of what we have to do and where we have to go in accordance to our living. The Bible says that those answers and those directions have already been given to us. They've already been given to us. But now it's incumbent upon us that we have to now walk in the Spirit in order for the deep things that are in the Spirit to be able to be made known and to be made manifest in our lives. You with me? Just because the answer's there doesn't mean we're going to know the answer. That's what I'm trying to say. Just because the direction is there doesn't mean we're going to know what direction to take. Just because it's there doesn't mean we automatically know what it is. We've got to tap into the source of the answer. The source of the answer is the Spirit of God within us, but we have to tap into that source to find the answer. We have to tap into that source to find that direction. So the Spirit holds everything, every answer to every problem, every decision to every complexity, every direction for every journey that we're ever going to take in our life. The Spirit of God that is within us holds all of that, but we have to tap into that in order to understand what it is, in order to understand. Let me just say this. I feel to see this. The Spirit is never at a loss for what to do. The Spirit of God is never at a loss for what to do. The Spirit of God never gets confused. The Spirit of God never gets tricked. The Spirit of God never gets turned around. He doesn't. The Spirit of God never makes mistakes. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God knows exactly every single time what the right thing to do is. It knows exactly what to do, exactly when to do it. We just have to tap into that. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit knows what to pray. We talked about this a couple Sundays ago, but there are how many of you have ever been in a situation when you were like, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know if I'm supposed to pray for this or if I'm supposed to pray for that. I don't know if I'm supposed to pray for a yes or if I'm supposed to pray for a no. I don't know if I'm supposed to pray to go left or if I'm supposed to pray to go right. I don't know what to pray. I'm confused about what to pray. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is never confused about what to pray, what the right prayer is. That's why we got to tap into the Spirit and allow the Spirit to begin to pray through us. Because when the Spirit begins to pray through us, it will pray perfect prayers every single time. It'll pray with all knowledge. It will pray with all understanding. It will pray with complete revelation and understanding of not only our today, but of our yesterday and of our tomorrow, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we allow the Spirit of God to pray, He is praying from future and past and present all at the same time, always knowing exactly what to do, exactly what to say. We got to tap into the Spirit. Oh, church, we got to tap into the Spirit. We got to live in the Spirit. This thing started in the Spirit. Don't let it end in the flesh. Don't try to live life in the flesh. Don't try to make directions in the flesh. Tap into the Spirit. Tap into the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You'll have to pardon the personal reference, but when we were trying to, and we told the story, but it just comes to my remembrance. When we were endeavoring to launch our Homewood Flossmoor campus, we were struggling with trying to find space to rent, and we had went to churches, and Pastor Elijah and Sister Kaylee had called many, many, many different places and buildings, and we had looked at several, went and visited, took tours and all this kind of stuff, and it just seemed like nothing was working out. And so one day, it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting here at the church, revival prayer. Maybe you remember the story, but and again, pardon the personal reference, but I was praying over here, and I was walking kind of back and forth, and I began to kind of feel the Spirit of God come upon me, and I began to pray, and I felt it was different than just English, and not necessarily anything wrong with that. There are times for that, and it was going beyond just a tongue of edification, but the Holy Ghost was beginning to, like a wellspring, I began to tap into something and tap into the presence of God. And I remember as I was kind of walking, maybe you've seen me over here, and I kind of pace, and I was kind of walking, and I would get about right here, and as I would turn about right here, something would hit. And then I would complete my turn. And when I would complete my turn, it would kind of leave me a little bit. I'd still feel His presence, but it would kind of, the intensity of it would leave me a little bit. And I'd kind of walk this way. And then I'd come back on my little pacing route. And I would get about right here. And I'd begin to turn. And about right here again, it would hit me. And I turned it. And it kind of let me go. Well, the third time it hit me, I thought, well, something's going on here. I'm not real. It takes me a bit. And so the next time I turned and it hit me about right here, I didn't complete the turn. I stayed tapped into whatever it was right here. And I began to pray, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to speak through me, and the Holy Ghost began to move through me, and I entered into a time of intercessory prayer, and I knew it wasn't me, and it wasn't my words, and it wasn't my thoughts, and it wasn't my abilities, and it wasn't what I thought we could do and where we thought we could rent or whatever, but I just began to pray in tongues, and it was a deep groaning that could not be uttered, and all of a sudden it was the, I believe if I got my story right, it was the very next day or just shortly shortly thereafter that I was here at the church praying again. And I didn't tap into it like I did that day, but this day I was just praying. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I want you to go over to Homewood area right now. I'm gonna open a door for you over there. And so I went and got in my car and I drove over there and I just started driving around. I was just praying, God, lead me. Whatever you want me to do, lead me. And I started going to different, I went to a place that we had already been to before, and I felt to go there, and I talked to them, and they said, well, this place still isn't going to work out for you, but have you thought about the Iron Oaks building? And it wasn't even on our radar. We hadn't even looked at it. We haven't even thought about it, if I remember correctly. And we hadn't even thought about it. And so I went over there and I talked to the lady. And we began to talk. And I got Pastor Elijah and Sister Caleb the next day. And we met the lady there and we signed the contract. And it was my wife or somebody the very next day after we signed the contract. And the lady that we met and that we had signed the contract with, she met us in the parking lot. And she said, you'll never believe this. She said, but the day after you came here, she said, I got multiple phone calls about renting this facility on Sunday nights when you wanted it. If you had not come in when you came in, this place would have been booked up and you could not have gotten it. And it was then that I remembered that as I walked about right here, listen to me now, when I turned, I was facing Homewood Flossmoor. And it was God tapping in and me tapping into the Spirit. And it was God beginning to move through me. And what he was saying was this, I want you in the flesh to be focused on a dilemma that you don't have an answer for. And as you look on it with no answers, let me then begin to pray the perfect prayer. Let me then begin to pray the exact thing that needs to be done. And I'll open a door in the Spirit that you can never open in the flesh. And I'll do a work in the Spirit that you could never do in the flesh. Come on, somebody praise him now. We got to get back to operating in the Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled people. We are born of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. We cannot accomplish this in the flesh. Perfect prayers. John spoke about it like this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what happened, John, when you got in the Spirit? I heard a voice. And it wasn't my voice. It wasn't the same voice that had been speaking to me all this stuff and confusion and what to do and what not. No. It was a different voice. It was a higher voice, and he began to speak to me as it was a trumpet. Trumpet's not soft. A trumpet's not so... We understand there's a still small voice. We understand that, but what I'm trying to tell you is even a still small voice can sound like a trumpet when you're in tune. Still small voice. No microphone. No other voices going on. And I spoke a still small voice so loudly that people in the back raised their hand. When you're tapped into the Spirit, the still small voice sounds like a trumpet. Direction. Understanding. The spoken word of God. Loudly. A little later, he writes in Revelation 4 and 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set in heaven, and there was one that sat on the throne. I want you to get this. This speaks of the oneness of God, but it also speaks of the kingship of God. So here he is in the Spirit, and in the Spirit he gets revelation of the person of God and the power of God. It's not that God is not speaking to us. It's that we're not listening. Because if we will tap into the Spirit, he so desires to speak to us of his person and of his power. He wants to give us revelation of who he is and what he can do. But we have got to tap into the Spirit. And I feel the Holy Ghost today. And let me help somebody right now, because somebody in the room is saying this. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know what I'm facing. It's like I'm fighting all hell in my life. I'm going through all kinds of junk. I've got all kinds of sickness. I got all kinds of loss. I've got all kinds of problems. I'm trying to deal with this and deal with that. And I just don't have time for this. And I just don't even know how I'm going to tap into the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Where was Paul when he tapped into the Spirit? As a prisoner, he had been banished to a deserted island. No friends, no family, no brothers and sisters in the Lord, no church, lonely, scared probably, all alone, not knowing what tomorrow was going to hold. And it said, but in spite of all of that, I decided I was going to go ahead and get into the Spirit. In spite of my circumstances, I was going to go ahead and get in the Spirit. And because he got into the Spirit, God gave him revelation to write Revelation. God spoke to him about writing an entire book of the Bible that we read and gain understanding and insight for generations and millennia. What can God do for you? If God can work a work through John that still is being a blessing to lives and hearts, if people in 2017, what can God do for you if you'll tap into the Spirit in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your difficulty? Let me tell you what that is that's telling you, well, you're just, guy, it's so rough. Your life, your family, your spouse, your kids, your finance, everything's just so rough. I just got enough energy just to crawl into the house of God. Preacher, just be glad that I even made it to church. Let me tell you, that's nothing but a lie from the devil himself. That's nothing but a work of the enemy against your life, because he knows if he can get you to think that way, he's going to exempt you from tapping in to the Spirit. He's going to get you to a place where you think, I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the will to do it. And because of that, you're going to miss your answer. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And he's doing everything he can get to get you to stop pursuing the spiritual things. And so he gets us to thinking about just what we can do in our flesh. Doing just enough, preacher. Just good enough to pay most of the bills. Just good enough to just make it through another day. What are you doing? You're doing it in your flesh. We're working it in our flesh. Just scraping by, just barely making it. Yeah, because you're doing it in your flesh. Would you let the Spirit work? Somebody says, well, if the Spirit wants to work, let the Spirit work. You got to tap into it. You've got to tap into it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to help somebody right here. Somebody says, well, I just can't ever seem to hear the Spirit. I can't ever seem to hear God speak to me. I'm coming to church, I'm sitting on the pews, maybe I pray sometimes, but I just never really seem to hear the voice of God. And so you start thinking, I can't hear spiritual things. I can't get spiritual insights and understandings. There's something wrong with me. There's something different with me. I'm different from everybody because I just can't seem to hear the Spirit of God speaking into my life. And yet, let me help you, because it's that same person that hears perfectly fine every lie of the enemy. And the enemy speaks doubt to them. And the enemy speaks unbelief to them. And the enemy speaks discouragement to them. And the enemy speaks depression to them. And you, I can see it on their face. I can read it on their body language. I can hear it in the words that they're saying. Well, preacher, I just can't ever seem to hear the voice of God. I just can't ever see. I just don't know what God wants me to do. And they're dejected and they're depressed and they're down. You've got to get this. The Spirit of God. Well, let me say it this way. God and the enemy are both spiritual beings. There is good spiritual stuff, godly spiritual things, and there is evil spiritual things. I might talk about it at the end, but the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, all this kind of stuff. What is it talking about? Spiritual things. It is a spirit of depression. A spirit of just woe is me and down and depressed and woeful and struggling and believing lies. It's a lying spirit. It's a spirit of doubt. It is a spirit of unbelief. You don't have a problem hearing spiritual things. Your problem is what spirit you're listening to. You can hear spiritual things just fine. It's all over you. I can read it like a book. It is all over you. You have no problem listening and obeying spiritual things. That's why there's no hope in your life. There's no hope. Because you've listened to a spirit of hopelessness. And you've obeyed the spirit of hopelessness. You've listened to a spirit of doubt. And you've obeyed the spirit of doubt. Spirit of unbelief. And you've obeyed it. You don't have a problem hearing spiritual things or obeying spiritual things. The problem is you're listening to the wrong spirit. And the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to us. And he's trying to get us to understand. You need to tune your ear to that which is right spiritually. So how do I do? Let's just get practical. So how do I do that? So I struggle in this area, Pastor. I realize now I don't have a problem listening to spiritual things and being obedient to spiritual things. I'm just listening to the wrong things. So how do I listen to the right things? Okay, how many know the battle is in our mind? Okay? And so it's what we believe, it's what we think on. It's the battle is in our mind. And so a good place to start to listening in order to help yourself to listen to the right spiritual things is Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the thought that comes into your brain has to pass through these tests. Is it honest? If it's not honest, it's got to leave. Don't think it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my mind and over my thoughts. Well, if it is just, if it is pure, if it is lovely, it whatsoever things are of a good report. Your mom died of cancer, you're going to die of cancer. Your dad was an alcoholic, you're going to be an alcoholic. All your family was bound with all kinds of mental stuff, you're going to, when you get to a certain age, you're going to be bound with mental stuff. And so we start believing that. We start believing those things. Those things are not of a good report. And if it is not of a good report, no, I will not ponder, think upon these things. And so what happens is, as you begin to be obedient to the word of God as it applies to Philippians 4 and 8, you're going to begin to weed out all of the spiritual yet evil voices. And the only thing that's going to be able to come in is spiritual, godly voices. And so now you're going to begin to hear the voice that is right more. And more and more and more and more. And my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. And the more you hear it, and the more it speaks to you, the more you understand. This is a spiritual voice that is good, and it is right, and it is blessed. Have to listen to that which is wrong. And I don't have to be obedient to the spiritual voice that is wrong in my life. I don't have to keep making the same mistakes and doing the same dumb things. I don't have to keep staying in a constant, perpetual state of upheaval and turmoil and tears. I don't have to stay in a place where I'm backslid half the time. I don't have to stay in a place where I get in and get out and get in and get out. I don't have to stay in a place where I'm cold and I'm hot and I'm cold. And I don't have to stay in that place where every other Sunday I need somebody to come and pray for me and pick me. I don't have to stay in this place of shallow living and struggle and want. But you got to want to know what the Spirit's going to say. And there's trouble with some people. Let me pastor now. The problem that some people have is they know they have issues, but they don't want to change their issues. And the reason I know that is because they sit on pews and the power of the presence of Almighty God moves and flows and reigns and rules in this place time after time after time. And those people never change. They never change. They stay in that cold, stagnant, carnal place. Never moving, never growing, never progressing, always just staying where they are. Why? It's not because they don't know. It's not that necessarily the Spirit isn't talking to them. It's that they don't want to listen to the Spirit of God. They don't want to listen because they, bless God, they're going to stay like this. And so the Holy Ghost is talking to us today. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to us today. And he's saying, listen to my voice. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. And when you hear what the Spirit is saying, don't reject it. Don't put your hands up. Don't cover over your ears. But listen to what the Spirit is trying to say. And be obedient to what the Spirit is trying to say. Because the Spirit is never going to hurt you. The Spirit is going to help you. The Spirit of God is love, and it is hope, and it is joy, and it is peace, and it is of a sound mind. The things of the Spirit are righteous and goodness. The things of the Spirit are all the things that we just talked about in our series a few weeks ago. And I'm trying to tell you, all of those things and so much more can be applied to your life if we'll just let the Spirit work. It's so important that we allow the Spirit to speak to us. as we discuss, I just hit this and move on. But if you weren't here on Thursday, it's so important that we understand and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and through us, because the messianic prophecy spoken by the prophet Isaiah was absolutely true. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, when he says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we need to remember that the Holy Ghost within us is not just the mighty God that will fight on our behalf, but he's also the counselor that will tell us what to do. So many times, and there's nothing wrong with this. You know me. I'm all about the miraculous and the supernatural and God fighting for us. You know that about me. But so many times we just pigeonhole God for what he can do. And it's like we've got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost within us allows us to have a God that'll fight for us or do miracles for us when we get into bad situations. But he's more than just a mighty God. He's also a counselor. It's the same God that we need for the miraculous in our bodies. It's the same God we can call on for direction for our life. Same God, same Spirit that is within us. John 14 and 15, I'm hurrying. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Somebody say comforter. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you." So the Spirit that they were talking about was what they received in just a little while after this on the day of Pentecost. He said, "I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you." It's the Spirit. And when Jesus is speaking of the Spirit of God inside of them, he calls it the Comforter. The Comforter is the Greek word parakletos, which comes from two words, para, which means from close beside, and kaleo, which means to make a call. In the natural, It's speaking of a legal advocate, or it's speaking of an attorney who stands beside you and speaks on matters of legality that you don't know anything about. The lawyer, the advocate, the attorney that stands right beside you and speaks and makes right judgment calls in situations that you don't know what to do. Why? Why can he make the right calls? Because he's close enough to the situation to know what exactly needs to be done. We've got to get this, because he is our comforter. He is in us. He absolutely is right beside us. He knows exactly what we're going through. Job would say it like this in Job 23 and 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take." He knows every mountain. He knows every valley. He knows every tear. He knows every trial. He knows every difficulty, every struggle, every pain, every decision that needs to be made. He knows. Because he's with us. He is in us. He's our comforter. He is our legal advocate. He is our ambassador. He is our counselor. He's the one that speaks of things we don't know anything about when we need them to be spoken. I don't know what to do. I need somebody to speak for me. Okay, let me speak. And I will say the right thing, because I am right beside you. I am with you. I know better than you what you're going through. God knows better than you and I what we're going through. So why are we trying to fix in the flesh, instead of allowing the Spirit to be our advocate, our attorney, and to speak on our behalf. You see, that's why the disciples were scared. When Christ started talking about his death and about his eventual ascension up into heaven, that's why they got nervous. For in their minds, they were losing their lawyer. They were losing their comforter. They were losing their advocate. They were losing the one who could speak for them when they didn't know what to speak. They were losing the one who would tell them what to do when they didn't know what to do. He's about to die, and he's going to get out of here, and he's not going to be with us around the fire anymore. And so how are we going to know what to do? So that's why Jesus would say, John 14 and 18, yeah, I'm going to go, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'm coming back. It's going to be a little different. I'm not going to be in the flesh, but I'm going to be in the spirit. I'm coming back. Yet a little while, and the world's not going to see me anymore in the flesh. But don't let that scare you. Don't let that give you cause for alarm. Because I'm going to come back. I'm simply transitioning the way I'm choosing to make my, choosing to transition the way I manifest myself to mankind as a comforter. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything we need is in him. And when we don't know what to do, he can speak. But we have got to allow the Spirit to work. I'm hurrying, I'm almost done. Paul goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. It's saying in their flesh they don't know the things of God, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We've received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Every answer has already been freely given to us. I think the Word of God is trying to reveal this to us when it says this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Now hear me, and I'm close. Acts 2 and 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. I want the church to hear this now, especially those that have been here a little while. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We understand that the Spirit of God is our salvation, and it's necessary for salvation, except the man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We might talk about some of that in the second part of our service today. But then he says it's more than just that. It's more than just that. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men are going to operate in spiritual things as well. Notice. The Spirit was to be at work upon those that were young as well as upon those that were old. Is that what it says? And I believe this would apply, I believe personally this applies to both physical maturity but also spiritual maturity. For I believe the Word of God is trying to show us that whether we are of a young age or young in our walk with God or of an older age or older in our walk with God, we are still to want and to be looking to release the Spirit of God to move and to work and to flow through our lives and our hearts and our spirits and our souls. Whether you are young in the church and you've been here for 5 months, or you're old in the church and you've been here for 50 years, we are to never lose the passion. I believe the Holy Ghost is speaking to us now. We are to never lose the passion. More importantly, we are to never lose the dependence upon the Spirit of God that is within us. So I preach to the seasoned saints of God. Let not be that those of us that have been in this thing for a little while, that we then begin to live our lives based upon the exercises of our own minds, or upon the exercises of our own flesh, or upon the exercises of our own abilities, because Paul has already told us that is foolishness. But let's get back to walking in the Spirit. Let's get back to living in the Spirit. Let's get back to trusting in the Spirit to lead us and guide us and to direct our steps. That's why Paul was so adamant about the church at Galatia. When he says this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, as we've already said, are you so foolish? He's preaching to the church now. Are you so foolish? You've begun this thing in the Spirit and now you're trying to do it in the flesh? Here we see that Paul was literally aghast. He was literally appalled at the fact that the church over time had gotten away from their dependence upon the Spirit of God. Paul was stunned. He was stunned. The church started to rely more on their own flesh rather than upon the Spirit of God that was within them to direct them and lead them and provide for them. In fact, when Paul asked them if they had become so foolish, that root word for that word foolish is to exercise the mind. That's what the word foolish means. The root word for the word foolish there, it means to exercise the mind. And so we see that Paul is trying to point out to them the foolishness of exercising their own minds to determine the direction for their life. When they have the ability to tap into the mind of Christ. Why? It is so foolish, he says. Why would you want to spend the thoughts of your own mind to direct your life when you can tap into the mind of Christ? Foolish. But if we're not careful, the longer we're in church and the longer we sit on these pews, the more tendency we might have to rely on our own minds and our own flesh instead of upon the Spirit. It shouldn't be that way, but it seems like the longer some are in church, the more their walk with God becomes ritualistic and routine. Just a routine. It's just who they are. It's just the longer they're saved, the more ceremonial and customary their time with God becomes. Stay with me. I'm almost done. I believe this is what John the Revelator is referring to when he writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Listen. Unto the angel of the church of what? Same people Paul was writing to. Paul, now you got to get this, because Paul wrote to him 30 years prior to John writing to them. 30 years prior. And 30 years prior, Paul is starting to see a church that is relying on the flesh instead of the Spirit. And so now 30 years of that progression goes by. And then John picks up the pen on the Isle of Patmos and writes what the Holy Ghost is speaking to him about the same church. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden sticks. So he starts writing to the church now. He says, I know your works, and I know your labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and they're not, and you have found them to be liars, and you have borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted, but verse 4, but nevertheless, I have something against you. You have left your first love. Thirty years ago, Paul began to see a trend in the church. 30 years ago, Paul began to see something beginning to crop up in the church, a church that was starting to depend on the flesh more than the spirit. And 30 years of that has now gone by. 30 years of church services, 30 years of prayer meetings, 30 years of being connected one with another, 30 years of coming to the house of God, 30 years of this, 30 years of that, 30 years of outreach, 30 years. And 30 years has passed. And the Lord begins to speak to that same church. And he says, listen, listen, you have the doctrine right. You have the doctrine right. You look right. Everything on the outside is right. People have tried to come in and preach heresies and false doctrine, but you've judged them to be liars and you've gotten them out so they didn't hurt the flock. That was good. Doctrine, things, you're doing those things right. But he said, the problem is you have gotten away from your first love. And I'm done. That love, that dependence, the understanding of the greatness of my presence and of my power. You've gotten away. When you first got into this thing, you got into this thing in the spirit. But time has gone by. And slowly, maybe even imperceptibly, you have gotten away from your first love. And don't think for a minute. Don't think for a minute. That if he was preaching to the church there, that it has nothing to do with the church here. Year after year after year goes by, and we sit on the pews, and we look right, and we have right doctrine, and we do right things, and we praise when we're supposed to praise, and we pay our tithes, and we give our offerings, and we do the things that we're supposed to do. But could it be said of us as it was said of the church at Ephesus? You're doing all the right things. The problem is you have left your first love. You used to love me to the point where you were so dependent upon me, so trusting in me, so enamored by my presence and my power and what I could do for you and tapping into me and communing with me. But you've, somewhere along the line, you've lost that first love. Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.